Hello again and welcome to a Christmas episode of BitNote, the radio station that talks about games and game music. I hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas on this special episode. So, once again, Christmas has rolled around. Merry Christmas, everybody. And once again, I have the task of putting together a Christmas-themed video game radio show episode, which, while maybe talking on and on about my own little difficulty seems very petty and somewhat against the spirit of the natural season, I still feel compelled to point out that this is not an easy task. I mean, okay, I am complaining, I am whining about it. And the truth is, you know, there are a couple of nice Christmas-themed video games. You know, they are out there. It's just that there's not really as common and as the other medium. I mean, most of the time when Christmas time rolls around, you hear Christmas songs on the radio, you know, watch Christmas movies. You know, it's something that's there. The media gives you your Christmas-themed stuff and you consume it at the appropriate time period of the holiday of the year. But with video games, I mean, sometimes you get a game based on a Christmas movie or something, and that kind of works. But, you know, there's not really any Christmas, you know, great Christmas video games as such. A lot of the Christmas-themed ones are kind of like special promos or something. And, like I said, I've come up with some good examples in previous years. Of course, this did end up with me actually having to narrate this text adventure Christmas-themed video games that was based on a magazine game that in itself was based on an actual RPG, which you're meant to play with people and on top of a table. So, yeah, I mean, I was running kind of low on options. So this time, I think I'll talk more about Christmas and video games in general rather than any specific Christmas-themed video games. Because while we talk about movies and music, there is one thing that video games have that the previous two don't tend to have, and that's an extremely strong connection with Christmas. Not that games and not that music and movies don't have a connection to it. You know, people often get DVDs or CD albums or, boy, you know, even these days, it's not that much case anymore, but, you know, because of digital downloads. But at the same time, you know, video games, because probably they're more expensive, and especially video game consoles are very expensive, I think that the season always has a lot more attachment to video games than anything else. I mean, kids would always ask for the latest console, and it's certainly not any different this year. I mean, I try to, like, record these episodes so that, you know, they can be listened to at any time and they're not completely tied to the time they're said it, but I'm just going to say it outright, right out. This is the year that the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox One, two next-generation consoles, have launched within a week of each other in November and are dead set for locking on in the Christmas season. And this is big. I mean, not too big, because they're not really doing anything that much different from what's been done before, and they're more powerful, more graphic-friendly, and they're going to be cool, and I think hopefully a lot of people are going to find them very fun when Christmas time runs around, both for the games and everything. But, Christmas time and new consoles have always been, like, really excited. I mean, there's been so many examples of games that have been launched before Christmas or consoles that have tried to be released before Christmas, all so that they can get that great big holiday buzz. And, of course, while they operate on the corporate level, all the fun fans of games, all those who like it, all the kids, you know, when you're first getting into games, you get all excited by all these new consoles and all the exciting technology. You want to tell your kids and your friends in school about it, and you want to play the latest games and everything. Or you might be one of those kids who just isn't going to get it, maybe because you're smart enough to realize that there's no game you specifically want but yet. But then at the same time, you know, there's going to be that one kid or a couple of kids that are going to get their parents to buy them the new console, and they'll be going on about it, and you'll be kind of jealous but kind of trying to justify your choice at the same time and say, you know, well, maybe later on. And then secretly you're going to go and bug your parent to get it for you for the next birthday. Because that's how it works, you know. You're either birthday or Christmas, you got to figure out your strategy for when you're going to get your next console. All that's before you even decide which console you're going to buy. I mean, this year you've basically got the pretty much split between Microsoft and Sony. Although, of course, everyone keeps forgetting that the Wii U by Nintendo was also technically a next-generation console by most definitions, and therefore, but people keep excluding that because for some reason it doesn't count, which is weird because Nintendo always has been making a profit and is one of the most successful video game development companies. But I digress, and we're back to the main question again, which is, you know, which one do you get? And this is a question that's been going on oh so very long, Back in the early 90s, it was Sega versus Nintendo. Did you get a Mega Drive or did you get a Super Nintendo? A little later on, it was Sony versus Nintendo 64, although Sony kind of won that. And sometimes it doesn't really matter which one you're going to win for. You know, you've got that one that has the games you want, or you got that company that you trust more, that you believe in more, and you go and get that one. And good on you, you know, if you do that. So in a lot of ways, the console you decide to get, you know, gives an expression of who you are. And in this case, as someone who's somewhat biased, I have to say, in this case, it's very fairly balanced. Both consoles, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, they're relatively evenly balanced. There's obviously inequalities here and there, and I've got my own personal preference. But, you know, it's not like there's one is significantly better than the other, and you never know how these things are going to turn out, at least not for a while. It's still quite possible that they could share it along with Nintendo, but I don't think either of them is interested in sharing. They both want to just completely dominate the other player, but there's how you go. One thing that's been said is that Xbox seems to be more about making a media center console, and PlayStation seems to be a little more focused on the gaming console, but that's just a point of view, and whether it's purely technical, and, you know, whatever works, really. In any event, the best thing to do is that if you don't have the same console as your friends when you're in school, that's a great thing. That means that you can buy and play games on your console, and then, of course, you can go over to your friend's house and play their games on their console. Of course, it's a little tricky because you still need some friends with the same console as you, so then you can swap games. But, you know, there's many different people in your class, and you can still have a lot of fun with games that already exist. And of course, as we all know, it's not just games and consoles anymore, because there's a lot of games on PCs, which everyone seems to forget. There's Steam, which has so many different consoles. There's a lot of indie games. And of course, there's Minecraft, which, you know, pretty much, you know, everyone loves to play with the construction and everything. I'm going to make a specific episode dealing with Minecraft. And of course, there's plenty of online flash and free games and stuff, but you're not actually going to get online free flash games on your stocking and under the Christmas tree. It would be kind of hard to pull off unless you want to get really technical. But the lesson of all this is that there are many different ways to play and enjoy video games in the holiday season. And, you know, I think there can be too much focus on you know, high-tech and really expensive and new release video games. I mean, I'm kind of a bit cheap when it comes to video games. I rarely buy a console on launch, which is pretty much a smart idea, because there's not really that many games for it at first. And also, the price is going to drop later, and you're also not quite sure how well it's going to do in the long term. And especially if it was the Xbox 360, you know, the earlier consoles were actually ones that had the highest failure rates, and that kind of applies to most consoles, but just usually not to the same extent. I mean, there's so much excitement can surround consoles, but at the same time, the new ones at least cost several hundred euro. I mean, that's not something that everyone's going to immediately go for. And I think that's hugely one of the disappointing and saddening things about Christmas, because at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, joy, fun, family and celebration. And I think that if you're going to stress yourself out about, you know, the money, I mean, I suppose money's always going to enter it. There's not really much way of avoiding it. But, you know, I was reading this online thing once, and apparently this father, he didn't have much money, and he couldn't really afford, you know, any cutting-edge games. So his daughter's friends were playing these really expensive games. So he set up YouTube to play videos from the games that her friends were playing, and then gave her a controller. And with that, he pretended that she was actually playing the game and wasn't sure. And it turned out, you know, he was a lot worried about her daughter. I mean, this was a cheap fix. He was worried that her daughter would suddenly realize all this. And it turned out that the daughter knew the whole time, but she understood that things were tough for his parents, and she actually enjoyed the family togetherness of it. So, I mean, I know it's kind of cheap that way. I know it's like, you know, coming up with, you know, if you don't have video games, make pretend. But I think the story just shows that what's most important is the connections we have between each other, how we're together as a family, how we communicate as a family. And it's sad if all we think about it is what present we get, or how much money, or what we can show off to the kids at school, because that stuff is fine, that stuff is awesome. But I think it's the people in our lives who make the huge amount of difference. And if you have to, like, get cool with some kids just by having a new cool new video game, well, trust me, I know that there's tempting. I know that it's better off than nothing. But at the same time, you know yourself that that's always going to be chasing a running target. You get the latest game to be cool with the latest set of friends, and then you just know a couple of weeks later they're just going to come out with a new game, and you're going to have to get that too, and you might even like it. And that's the biggest problem. They keep talking about all these cool games, but most of them aren't really even that good, at least in my opinion. Or maybe you're not keen on them. Or maybe the games you really like are a completely different genre altogether. It's just, there is something, and I understand it, the whole thing of social thing of fitting in and playing games that you really want to play just to so you have something to talk with the other guys about. I kind of do get that. But at the same time, sometimes it's just fun to just, you know, don't feel you have to play the games that other people are playing. Don't feel that your social life is over if you don't. And I mean, I know it's tricky because sometimes I will talk about stuff from the games and it's hard to join in. But, you know, don't feel desperate that nothing else is going on, because there's a lot of ways of communicating people. There's a lot of things to talk about. And, you know, sometimes when you play your own games, you've got something new to talk to them about. It's all interesting. It's all about socializing with human beings, so there's no fast and easy answers. But just don't feel that there's nothing else you can do other than buy video games in order to be popular, because that's just buying. That's just using commercialism in order to compensate for social inadequacies, which is probably not a good idea. Okay, I think it's time for a track. And despite what I said earlier, I managed to get up a sort of a Christmas-themed music from a video game. And I think it's a very appropriate video game, actually. It was the launch game for the Nintendo 64. And if you know something, excited Christmases, launch consoles, and highly anticipated games, this was Mario. First time he was really ever in 3D on the Nintendo 64, Nintendo's first 3D console. Released in the 90s, everything was excited about this one. This was a good game. Everything was going up, and it was basically a lot of kids were anxious to bring this into the new generation. So I think that sometimes while launch consoles don't always have good games to start with, this is an exception. And fortunate for us, it does have a winter themed level, not Christmas, but winter themed. But the soundtrack, I think, will hopefully fit the bill. So have a listen to Snow Mountain. Thank you. And that was Snow Mountain from Mario 64, which was released, of course, as a launch title for the Nintendo 64, and was composed by Koji Kondo. Now, I haven't spoken about Koji Kondo properly. He is a major guy in basically Nintendo music and as a result, video game music in general. He composed the original themes for Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda. So those classic, iconic themes that have been, you know, let's face it, repeated a lot through a lot of the following games and just almost part of classic culture. It's just, yep, that was him, Koji Kondo. I'll probably be playing some of them in future shows. But for this in this specific case, we were talking about Snow Mountain. Like I said, it's not quite a Christmas-themed level, but it is a snow-themed and winter-themed level. And essentially, you find yourself on top of this snowy mountain, and you basically have to go around doing what you normally do to collect all these golden stars and stuff, which is pretty much the premise of most of the game. It's kind of fun. You basically have to deal with all these like chairlift kind of thingies and you end up going sliding down all these ice slopes to the bottom of everything. And part of the plot involves returning a nice little baby penguin to its mother. Or you could just throw him off the gigantic crevasse. It's usually, you don't get the star if you throw the baby off the crevasse. It's nice to return the baby penguin to its mother who's so worried about it and everything will be okay again. And then you get the star. So, that's exactly what video games teach us about morality, by the way. If you do something good, you will be rewarded for it all time without question, and if you're not, then it's bad game design. It's not exactly a very good holiday-friendly message, but at least they've got it half right. You know, it is nice to do good things, but just, I think that we can't always expect that you'll suddenly get two extra points for doing it. It's because we don't really have a point system in the real world, but you should know that already. Now, while I'm here, I might as well give some advice to parents about getting presents for their kids. Now, for a start, I just want to be clear on one point. I know this is broadcasting on the 23rd. It's a little earlier here, so maybe it's a little too late for this advice, but let's just give it a shot anyway. Parents, first up, sometimes you'll want to go it alone and you'll know what's best and decide to get the present for your own kid. That is perfectly fine. Every parent, it has a parent or has anyone really, anyone buying a present is their own complete decision what to get for their kid. However, sometimes you might just ask your kid directly. And of course, if it's a big console, just temper that very well, because even if you do get the console, you want it to be a surprise. But if you end up not being able to get it, you don't exactly want them really hyped up and being let down on Christmas. But let's put that aside. If they tell you the name of a video game, make sure of two things. One is that you get the name completely down on a piece of paper written down. Do not even try to remember. I mean, if you've got a super powerful memory, that's fine. But do not even try to like remember the name or assume you'll do it, because a lot of these names in video games are A, really stupid, and B, not very memorable. I mean, seriously, Black is the name of a video game here. Just Black, okay? You know, there are perfumes that have better naming systems than this. I mean, you know, everything. Crysis, for instance, but that's completely different from Far Cry, although it's in the same series. And then there's Crysis 3. And to make things even worse, some games just have a colon, and that's how you're meant to tell them apart. I mean, the last game was like Echo or Echo. I mean, I remember, of course, Echo, and then there was Echo Tides of Time. But it was actually Echo 2 Tides of Time, but they was blurred it, so you weren't sure which Echo game it was. Now, fortunately, that worked out for me in my childhood, because they got me Echo Tides of Time. I didn't realize it was a sequel, but if they got me the original game, I would have been tearing my hair out in frustration. So I'm just glad that even though Echo 2 was a little hard, it wasn't as rage-inducingly brutal as the first game. So in that case, it worked out for me. But if you want to actually buy the right game for your kid, just make sure you write it down on a piece of paper. You don't want to be like the parent whose child said, get me Soul Calibur, and they end up getting him Soul Edge, which I heard was once. Now, they're both fighting games, which makes it even more confusing, but the fact is Soul Calibur was said to be one of the best like fighting one-on-one fighting games of its time, and Soul Edge was just meant to be a rudimentary brawler. I mean, I played both, and they're okay. Soul Edge wasn't too bad, but it wasn't Soul Edge, it was Soul Fighter. You see, I'm meant to be an expert on video games, and even I'm getting confused. Soul Edge was like the prequel to Soul Calibur. And even though the sequel wasn't called Soul Edge 2, it was Soul Calibur. And now the sequel to Soul Calibur is Soul Calibur 2. But I was talking about Soul Fighter, which was a completely different Dreamcast launch game. You see, this is why I'm telling you to write it down on a piece of paper. Because seriously, I'm meant to be like the expert here. And even I'm getting the names and everything mixed up. And trust me, things will get confusing. So that's the first thing. Always make sure you get it, write it down on a piece of paper. just to be sure. Be wary of stuff. Sometimes they're add-ons and things. I'll leave that to you. Ask if there's anything tricky, but that should be the first thing. Second of all, make sure you've got the right platform. It should be common knowledge now, but a PlayStation disc will not play on an Xbox. An Xbox will not play on a PlayStation, and Nintendo disc won't play on it. Just make sure you've got the platform. Take, for instance, Call of Duty Ghosts. That's available on 4 different platforms, to my knowledge. I think it's available on the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. Just to be clear, Xbox One is a really stupid name as well. So, but don't confuse the Xbox 360 and Xbox One, because I don't think games in one will not play in the other. This is why you pay attention to these things. So, along with writing down the name of the game on the piece of paper, write down the platform on the piece of paper. Just the exact thing. If you're in any doubt, just make sure you get it on that piece of paper. Because sometimes you don't want to end up buying like an Xbox One game when they've got a 360 and they won't be getting an Xbox One for ages. And now the fact you've got them an Xbox One will make them think, oh dear gosh, now I can't wait to get an Xbox One. You know, then I'll be able to play this game which you got me. So just make sure you get that written down. So write down the name, write down the platform. I suppose the only other thing is sometimes if you're stuck, just, you know, this is actually getting a bit tricky, because in the past what you do is if you're really stuck, just ask the guy at the stand, you know, ask the guy in Game or GameStop. And that's tricky because Game is kind of shut down in Dublin. So there are not quite as many places in Dublin or Ireland, where you can actually talk to someone who knows something about video games. But what I will say is sometimes there's a few things. There's GameStop, there's even the people in HMB aren't too bad. Just ask around, and if they don't seem to know much about video games, just see if there's anyone who does. And basically see if you can ask their advice. If you're under any certainty, don't be afraid to ask for help. And or even just phone the kid or something, which I know kind of spoils the surprise, but it's better just to not screw it up. It's better to spoil the surprise just a teeny bit that you're getting them something rather than just confuse everything. So, yeah, that's my advice to parents. Just know exactly what you're getting. Don't get cocky and don't be afraid to ask for help. Because the truth is, these things are confusing. A lot of these marketers just come up with stupid... Xbox One is a very silly name. They're going to be hardcore gamers who are going to get... When people are going to talk about the Xbox One, people are going to wonder whether they're talking about the Xbox One, which was released now, or the Xbox... original Xbox, which was released, I think, in 2001. And, of course, you know, Xbox, the original Xbox, some people... It's like how the Sony PlayStation called their first console a PlayStation and the second console PlayStation 2. So then, in order to differentiate, people called the first console the PlayStation 1. But people can't do that with the Xbox. They can't call it an Xbox One because now there's another console which Microsoft released that is actually called the Xbox One. So which Xbox One are you... It's just messy. Now, in all fairness, pretty much no place, unless you're going to some, like, second-hand video game shop or something, no place will really sell Xboxes or the first Xboxes or any of the games for the first Xbox. So you don't need to worry about getting mixed up on that point. All right, so I've given my advice to kids, which is be happy with what you got, appreciate it, and remember the important things about Christmas. And I've given advice to parents, which is be absolutely clear about what you need to get your kids and don't try to take guesses or play games when it comes to, well, buying video games. But I think that I haven't left enough just to talk about that this is a great season. And I think I do really, there's so much excitement, so much fun. I wish the best to all of you out there. I hope your Christmas is happy, you have fun, you have good times, you have close connections, and even with all the stress and sometimes worry, because there's a lot of worry associated with Christmas, but you get to break through, you get to have that moments where you relax, you chat, you talk, you become human, and you just enjoy those around you and those that are close to you and those near you. And I hope that you do the best. Have a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is all kind of interesting because, I mean, while I understand that Christmas can be different for pretty much everyone and we all try to get into the spirit and love, sometimes things can be pretty tricky, which makes this song kind of ironic because I'm playing it as a Christmas song, but once again, it's a winter-themed song. But it shows it. It has nice... It's from a popular game that was in the 90s. It has nice Arctic landscape with even a lot of glaciers and ice flows and everything, giving it a great winter snow theme. But here's the funny thing. It was revealed recently that this music was actually based on an unreleased track of this 80s band. The band themselves were called the Jet Zones, which were an American new wave band. And one of the drummers in that band was a guy called Brad Buxter. Now, Brad Buxter had was like a lot of musicians. He moved around a lot and ended up years, almost a decade later, working on the soundtrack for Sonic 3. Now, Sonic 3 has got an infamous soundtrack. Anytime you look into Sonic 3 soundtrack, people constantly pull and notice how there's a similarity, talk about how Michael Jackson once worked on it. Now, there's enough evidence at this stage we know that, yes, he was probably had some effect of the game, and yes, of course, that a lot of the people, musicians that he generally worked with, including Brad Buxter, also worked on both the game and also for Michael Jackson on their own thing. So it's pretty clear he had a very strong influence in the game, and you can only listen to a couple of parts of it. Of course, his name was taken off the credits due to certain allegations about and controversy surrounding him at the time due to his personal life and what he did personally with other kids. Boy, I'm kind of uncomfortable to bring up that sort of topic around Christmas time and kids. But the point is, Brad Buxter was basically his own musician. This it doesn't look like this was influenced at all by Michael Jackson. Instead, it looked like Brad Buxter took this unreleased song from the Jetsons, a band that he worked with, and realized this song was too good to just not be heard, and it wouldn't actually be heard for like until just only very recently. So he kind of repurposed it and put it into this game. Now, originally it was called Hard Times, and it was actually, of course, composed during the 80s. We'd talk about, you know, how we were living in hard times, and you know, and so it's kind of interesting. But he repurposed it, and now it's a great. Now it works great, has this nice Arctic theme for the level of Ice Cap Zone for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, which was developed by Sega. So, this is David Collins with BitNote. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I leave you with Ice Cap Zone from Sonic 3.